Good day to you, and welcome to the Kitty Podcast, where we share information, tips, and techniques to help children and youth, families, and educators to grow and blossom. I'm your host, Tracy V. McGee, and we welcome you from beautiful Lithia Springs, Georgia. In today's episode, we will discuss hope with our amazing guest, Mrs. Tangi Major. Yay! Ms. Major is a school counselor for the Patterson Public Schools in New Jersey. Today, we're going to be talking about developing your hope meter and allowing hope to be a major part of your life. No pun intended, Ms. Major. I am so excited to share with Mrs. Major today. Fair warning, you may notice that this interview will sound like two old homies chatting it up with each other, and you will be correct. Tangi and I met on our first day of graduate school in 1993.
Wow.
And we have been down like four flats. I will allow Ms. Major to tell you more about herself, and then we're going to jump into our interview. So take it away, Mrs. Major.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Ms. McGee, my girl, Trace. We do go way back. We were in a master's program, which was when my whole educational, I would say, journey in this field started, and where I received my master's in education at Eastern University. So I'm honored to be here. I've been about 20 years with Eastside High School in Patterson. I'm in my 20th year, I should say. So I completed 19. I'm in my 20th. And it's been good. It's something I've always wanted to do. It's been a dream of mine since I was in seventh grade to do this. Yeah. So I'm really excited and honored to talk about this awesome word, hope. Well, you know, although it's so small, it does take some work at being hopeful, particularly in the times we live in. So I am honored, ready to take on the challenge. I am ready, my dear Miss McGee.
All right. So just so that you know, the Kitty Podcast is a service of and sponsored by the TJAC Educational Consulting Group, where we are taking Jesus across communities through the provision of educational services. Mm-hmm. So everything we do is education.
Okay.
Yes, we are a Christian-based company. You don't have to be a Christian to work with any of our services. We're so glad you're here today. And we're going to talk about hope. I'm going to ask questions, and Ms. Major is going to answer them. Here's our first question. And
yes.
It is a biggie. How does hope empower a person to navigate through challenging situations? This is one of those questions that works for the time that we're in right now.
Right. You know, definitely in terms of Christianity, we are taught that, you know, it's impossible to go without trial or tribulation. And that the only way to get through these difficult situations is to have, we call faith and also hope, which I feel kind of goes hand in hand. Hope is something that you have to make a decision to do because it doesn't always look hopeful. It's something when during trials and tribulations, you have to decide this is the way I want to think and what I choose to look forward to. It's more than a feeling because you could feel terrible. You could feel very scared. You could feel very uncertain. But as we state in our walk of Christianity, it helps to kind of remind yourself of what happened maybe before this situation, right? And how you were able to get through it and be at that present time. So when that next situation hits you, you're able to remind yourself of what happened before and how you felt the same feelings of being scared, being unsure, being in a situation where you just not, you just don't know what tomorrow may bring. And hopefully to actually make yourself remember what that situation was and where you are today and how you got through. So hope is something that you have to decide that this is what I am going to focus on. And when those thoughts come contrary to that, you have to negate the thoughts, those negative thoughts, with thoughts of what happened in the past, how you got to where you are right now. That you thought it was impossible then, and so now you're feeling that same feeling of impossibility, but you made it through. So all those things you have to decide to do. Not easy. Definitely, I would call it a lifestyle that you have to continue to adapt, but definitely necessary. I don't know how you work with people, children in particularly, and not have that. You have to, it's necessary. You have to have hope in a difficult situation because it doesn't always change right away. And you just have to know it will get better. So I have to include faith in that. You know, it's impossible, right? You can't really do it without faith, which right. We know is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Hope is definitely not seen. It's something that you have to just believe. It is a faith walk. Yeah.
And it's strange because it's every problem seems like it's surreal.
Right.
So when you're talking about making sure that you remember back what happened, the picture came into my head from The Lion King.
Yes.
Remember when Rafiki took that shit?
Yes.
Simba in the head with it.
Yes.
And when he went to hit Simba the second time, Simba was like bobbing and weaving.
Yeah, right, like moving away.
And he learned from that first time.
Right, exactly.
Yes, it's hurt. But if I don't want to feel that same pain, I need to do something different.
I got to do something different. That's right. I have to do, right, Trace? It's like you just have to do something different. You have to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. You have to be sick and tired of being negative. You have to be sick and tired of feeling like this is, you're defeated. It's a mindset. You just got to fight through. And you can't stop. You just can't stop. Yeah.
All right, we're off to a great start. Okay. I've got another question for you.
Yes.
And it's two parts.
Okay.
So what or who personifies hope for you? And then please give an example.
Okay. What or who personifies hope for me? So I would have to say what personifies hope for me is my relationship with Christ. And I will give an example, but I will, you know, even in my own life, dealing with that challenge of the diagnosis of HIV and really this was in 89, where it was very bleak and very doom and gloom. That was just the reality of it, where many were dying. And I just remember feeling, this is a difficult one, and I don't know if I'm gonna be able to come out of this okay. And the personification of hope was the presence that I allowed Christ to be in my life. And I'm not saying that in a bragging way. I am saying it in a way where, as the Bible always used metaphors, we know. So, you know, of course, there's the metaphor of faith the size of a mustard seed. So one of the examples I want to use is, I remember feeling very, very low. I had lost my son And I, who was 6 months, and I, you know, was innocent throughout this whole process. And I remember I was in school, I was in undergrad. This was 89, and I just couldn't focus. I was just so sad and depressed, and I thought I couldn't go on. And so when I, this particular time, this example, I could barely get out the bed. So I literally rolled on my knees, and I, you know, as I'm sharing, yes, I am a, you know, I'm definitely, as they call it, church girl and all that. But during this time, during this particular time, this moment, I felt so low that all I can ask was, God, please help me. That was really it. And I had, you know, a lot of experience in praying and, you know, what to say and how to sound so churchy and all that. But I couldn't do any of that. I just didn't have the strength. All I could do was ask God to help me. And I remember God meeting me where I was on my knees. And like his presence I felt in that room. And just as we're speaking, that one time God said to me, you shall live and not die. I'll never forget it. But the point I do want to make, and that was, you know, exciting. It really was. Absolutely. But I also have to say that I didn't get up off my knees where I felt like I was so confident, like it was going to be all right. I still had those thoughts of knowing that someone was dying from AIDS almost every week. Definitely within the month, you knew someone that was dying or dead already. And so those thoughts were still there, that reality I was still facing. So I realized what it meant to have faith the size of a mustard seed, because basically all I had was that, was God saying that to me, that you shall live and not die. That's all I had to hold on to. And so I did that because I just had no choice. Either that, or I was literally at least dying spiritually inside, because I was just that low. So I made a decision. I made a decision to trust what God said. And I did it 1 minute at a time. And I went to 1 hour at a time. God, honest truth, I couldn't do any more than that at a time until I got to now, 36 years later. So I'm just saying, that's an example. It's not a model. I don't want to make it seem like that's the only way that God can move, because that's definitely not true. That's not the only way that God can give hope, but it is a way. I'm sharing it because I know what it's like to feel hopeless and to want to not be in that position and think like that anymore. So I know what that's like. So I'm not saying it's a model, but I am saying, like, you just sometimes don't have anything else but to trust God. You just don't have anything else. You don't have any proof. You don't have anything. It's really, truly faith. The evidence of things hoped for, because I hope to live. Absolutely. But the evidence of things not seen, because I also was hearing people dying. So I, you know, went to faith the size of a mustard seed. My example. So my personification, what I see, what helps me, is really my relationship with Christ. And I made a decision. That's what I was going to do, is follow him.
He's so good.
Oh, ain't he good? He's so good. Trace, you know, you were helpful. Like, we have so much history, man. I said it's not a model, but modeling in a sense where that was my situation, but it's just people go through like some real terrible life situations, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, when we met, we just clicked. And I do believe like spirits do hook up. And my God, y'all don't know, but this girl really was just a true friend and just loved me for who I was. Child, we ain't had nothing, but we loved each other. Oh my gosh. And Tracy was there to support every bit. During that very slow journey. It was just slow, you know, it was just slow. I wasn't, you know, just like you, you know, and look at what you've grown to, my God. And oh my gosh, where was that? West Philly. We were in West
at Granny's house.
Yes.
Me, you and Bethany.
And you were talking about this dream. Mm-hmm. You started this. I worked for Tracy. I worked for you. Remember? Oh my gosh. Oh. I had so many stories, please.
Meeting is the key tutorial.
Because all of that is provided. So when you start to look and have hope, things are put in your pathway amazingly, because now your mind is correct. It's thinking right. If you are negative, it's hard to see where your blessings may come from. You won't even see it. You really won't see it. Others will look at us, right? Yeah.
Life just feels like a cloud when you get under that hopelessness.
Right.
And it's just that 5 seconds that it takes to say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. You know, and then after that 5 seconds is up, God is like, that's all I was waiting for. Right. You know, and it might still be another.
Right.
5-6 years.
Right.
But step by step.
Yes. Yes.
Everything seems like it's starting to change.
Yes.
And so even like our conversation before we started recording, it's like, I'm not sweating this. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've been through worse.
Oh my gosh.
If you don't really have a friend like Tangi, I feel the sorriest for you. Tangi will not let you feel sorry for yourself. You'll be like, oh, this loss. And she'll be like, girl, please. Get yourself together. I'm on my way.
I feel like we learn from each other. You know, we push. Tracy, no one pushes. Honestly, no one pushes more than you. I remember you talking about this dream. I remember you talking about being able to serve children educationally. And so let me see. My son was dead for 36 years. He'd be 36 if he was living. We met in 93. I just thank God for how far we came. So I'll let Tracy tell her story, but I'm just saying she was just a great inspiration, her and her family, towards me. And I do want to say, like, you know, once you surrender, as Tracy just said, Ms. McGee just shared, where it takes 5 seconds to really say, you know, God, I trust you. Once that happens, God does really open up doors. Doors that you would never expect. And that is really what happened, you know, in my life. It was miraculous. It's miraculous that I'm still here. It's miraculous that we have a TJAC now. It's miraculous. God is able. He's just able. I can't say it enough. I can't say it enough.
And so if you're listening to us as we're going back and forth, in 36 years, things are still happening. Mm-hmm. Things still are challenging. However, we've got 36 years of history.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With God.
Yes.
And with the people that he places in our lives.
Right.
And so if you're the person that's in the bed right now listening to this podcast and you're like, I just can't get up.
Mm.
Please believe that we are not beyond not having those days.
Mm.
Pull the blanket up over our ankles and be like, not today.
That's right. You talk know? About it.
It's not 10 years that we lay in the bed saying not today.
Yes, yes, yes.
We get up the next day, mm-hmm. get dressed, and we get out there.
Yes.
And we start hustling again.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and people are looking at us like, I had no idea what you were going through.
Right.
It was between me and God.
Yes, yes.
And so you want to get out the bed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening to us now and you can't get out the bed, get out the bed. Go take a shower. Because if you've been laying in the bed for 10 days, go take a shower. Mama said, go take a shower.
Go shower. Please.
And as that water is running down over your head, just say, God, I trust you. I don't know Tracy McGee. Mm-hmm. I don't know Angie Major.
Right.
But they said I could say I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And our prayer for you is God will show out for you.
Yes.
And 36 years later,
right,
you will be saying, I don't know how I got through that, but I said, God, I trust you, and I'm still here.
That's right. That's right.
So it is possible.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And, you know, what Miss McGee is saying is absolutely right. And, I mean, sometimes, you know, all of us wanted to move fast, and, you know, nobody wants to stay hurting. You know, but like Miss McGee just shared, if you just get up and move around, you know, they say when you're sad or depressed, the best thing you can do is just get up and move around your house. Go outside. Just you have to get up. That is the first thing. And you do need to ask God for help. He'll do it. That we can assure you of, right? I'm telling you, right, Trace? Like, we can assure that
we can help.
How it's going to come about, we don't know. We can't say that. We're not trying to act like we know it all. But we do know that God is faithful, and He will. You'll see Him. You'll see the manifestation, as we say in church. You'll see that manifestation in your life. Please, just get up. You know, oh my gosh, mm-mm-mm. God is good. God is good, right? I'm telling you, right, Miss McGee?
Yes, and I'm excited that He doesn't mind showing off for me.
Right. Exactly.
And because He's no respecter of persons, meaning that He doesn't look at Tangi and say, okay, I'm going to give Tangi all the blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give her half of Tracy's too.
Right.
Miss Major has her own set of blessings.
Amen.
She has her own set of blessings. You have your own set of blessings.
Right.
And He's got enough blessings to give everybody an equal amount of blessings.
Right.
You know, and you know, a lot of times people are like, oh, you're talking to school children. You can't be trying to be all holy. Mm-mm. The things that our children go through today.
Yes.
They need to know that there is hope.
Yes. Yes. That is really a good point, Miss McGee, because when you're working with children, it can become really difficult. I work with high school children, and a lot of times I don't even understand what they have to deal with when they leave the school. It can be just devastating, some of the stories that you hear. You still have to give hope. Some of the ways I give hope is to try to give them milestones that they can complete. I'm not able to always speak to everything that's going on in their situation. But I try to make it so, can they make small hurdles? I always feel like if there's some type of success, no matter how small, it's encouraging. So everybody needs that. Whether it's, okay, can you return back to class? And today, I just need you to, you know, work on your assignments. When they're younger, you know, I mean, Miss McGee, you can give all kinds of examples. I do work with high school children. But, you know, I try to give them milestones that they can complete. Therefore, once that happens, they're able to see like an outcome, which gives them the feeling or the knowledge or the actual accomplishment of success. A grade for that class that's better than what they had. You know, the accomplishment of doing just the right thing, whether it's, you know, going to class every day, making sure that they do their work. and how I try to also say, as bad as the situation may be in your home, you accomplishing that will just help. So that's one of the things I do. You know, that's, it's difficult. It's you do feel like your hands are tied. And so no one is disrespected. I don't talk bad. I don't come off, you know, we're Christians, but we don't come off all judgmental and stuff like that, you know. But just to try to give the most practical examples as we possibly can to try to encourage.
Absolutely.
Right.
So we did this one kind of backwards. We gave the answer. So the question that we answered was...
There I go, running my mouth.
Why do we need hope? Our children need hope.
Right.
Because of the situations that they live in.
Yes.
Just going from their home to school can be a traumatic experience.
Correct.
Going from school back home.
Yes.
They could be running for their lives.
Yes.
And so they have to have hope.
Yes.
That if I just stay focused just today.
Yes.
Not even the whole report card period.
Right.
Just do my homework today.
Yes.
And I get it right, then that'll give me hope for tomorrow.
Yes.
You know, if I just eat.
Yes.
Lunch here at the school today.
Yes.
Then I won't be starving because we don't have any food at the house.
Correct. Correct. Correct.
You know, I mean, we have high schools now that are literally putting little supermarkets or grocery stores in the school.
Okay.
For children that don't have any food.
Right.
So that they can go in and pick something up.
Mm-hmm. And take it home. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a traumatic experience.
It really is. Mm-hmm.
Not to know where your meals are coming from.
Correct.
And so they've got to have hope.
Yes.
And it's our life experiences. And we don't have to tell them everything.
No.
We can tell them, listen, if I can get through what I've gone through, so can you.
Yes.
So if you just pay attention to what I say and you trust me a little bit.
That's it.
I'll help you with today.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow. And we'll do it together.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
so they don't have to feel alone.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We're not going to leave you out there feeling like you're all abandoned. And the second part of that question was, how do you encourage others not to give in to discouragement or disappointment? And so when you were talking about these micro steps.
Yes, yes.
That we can give to our children.
Yeah.
That is major.
Yes.
Because everybody wants to say, graduate from high school.
Right.
Why do that? One day at a time for 180 days.
That's right. That's right. And so it's important for us as educators not to lose that focus. So it's not something magical. It's not because we said so. And even I have to check my own self. Sometimes I'm just like, just go to class. So, for some children, because of patterns, I often talk about patterns and habits that are formed. So if you have a child since elementary school that has really bad attendance, more than likely, of course, they get to high school and that's the case. So not only does that, it of course makes sense. Yes, we do want to break that. But what's more important to pay attention to is the habit that has been, you know, formed. Meaning like, you know, like we get up every morning and right now you don't even have to think twice, right? You go and you brush your teeth. For a child that has so much truancy, they're used to not going to school. It's almost like you got to think of it like that. they are used to not going to school. It's a hard cycle to break. It takes patience. We have to really handle it with care, because their truth, as I often talk about, like there's my truth, your truth, and then the truth. And you got to share the truth, right, with the children. You got to share the, I can't sugarcoat that. If you don't come, if your attendance is bad, we can't pass you. That is the truth. Now, their truth is that they haven't been going. So I already know it is easy to say, I'm going to stay in the bed, right? I tell them, you know, I know. Oh, I'm just going, you know, float off and not go to this class, not go to that class. It's easy to do because you've been doing it for so long. So I need that habit broken, because I can't tell you that you're going, you know, I can't get to that goal. I can't get to that point of success for you if you don't do A, B, and C, if you don't go to class. So so we don't like sugarcoat it, but we gotta, you know, but we walk with them. Come by me. Maybe that child needs to come and see you every day. To find time for them. Of course, the resources that we may have in our educational entities, you know, whatever, you know, to utilize that. You know, we're not an island. We can't do it all. You know, so referring to appropriate support entities is super important. almost impossible not to do, right?
So I'm in ninth grade. You're a ninth grade counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really care at the house if I get up to go to school or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the major thing.
Mm-hmm.
for my home. And there are also other issues,
mm-hmm,
going on. And you're throwing around this word hope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go to church.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't go to school.
Mm.
You just happened to catch me walking down the hall today.
Right.
Because I woke up early and decided to see you a favor by gracing you with my presence.
That's the truth, Ruth. Lord have mercy. That's the truth, Ruth.
And you are telling me to have some church word hope.
Mm.
Now, the funny thing about how we got started with this whole thing about hope is that a public institution,
mm-hmm,
came to us and said, listen, we need you to write a couple of classes on hope, because after this COVID thing, nobody is feeling hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's feeling like all is lost.
Yes, yes.
Falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we wrote classes,
mm-hmm,
where we tried to break down this whole thing about hope. But I'm in ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go to church. I you're saying you've got to have hope.
Right.
What are you talking about?
Okay.
So
I know, right? And that is such a real scenario. Mm-hmm. That's a real scenario.
Down for me. What is hope?
What is hope? So I asked the child, what do you want to do, like, when you graduate high school? So I start talking about what they like. I have to believe, which is my hope, every child wants to do better, wants that, has something they want to do. The worst behavior child that you may have, I always feel, particularly with children, there's something that makes them happy, makes them, you know, motivated. It's something. So I try to focus on that. And then somehow or another, I try to focus on how to tie it into receiving this education, receiving this high school diploma, and how that can help move them along. it's not always 100% seamless, but I do start with, what do you like? Even maybe, what do you hope for? They may say something like, well, I hope that, you know, my mom finds a better job. I hope that, you know, we can have a place to live. I hope. So yes, when they say those things, I'm not able to provide that, you know, I'm not able to provide that. And which is when I do reach out, to other agencies and, you know, to try to help the student. I'm honest where I say I can't, but there is help out there. Let's see what we can do. You know, I don't want you to feel, again, making sure the child feels like they're not alone, making sure this ninth grader knows that it is possible, and to give them the tool, like what we were talking about, that 1 minute at a time, that 1 day at a time, and get to 1 week at a time, to 1 month at a time, you know, so that they're taking small but meaningful steps in the direction that they want to go. I have not met a child that does not have any goal, aspiration, or something. What, you know, something that they like. When I can peel it away. The positions, I feel like a position of a guidance counselor, you know, helps, because I'm not in discipline. But I know sometimes it's like, sometimes a child, you do feel like you got a discipline. But, you know, so you're just in a different position sometimes. I don't know, where you're not in that confrontational kind of relationship. Which also states that in educational entities, how every person has its part and is so important, and you need it.
Yes.
You know, so you're not looking for somebody to do what you do. You're not looking for that. You want the all the puzzles to meet together so that you get to the goal, which is to graduate these children. So for a ninth grader, I usually have to reach out to different resources to try to encourage the child. A lot of anxiety, a lot of those children have, where they are not used to being in such a large school. It reminds me of when we went to undergrad, like to college, where you have all this freedom. You're like, well, it can be a bit overwhelming, and all of a sudden, it's 2 weeks and you got like a 10-page paper because no one asked you about it. You know, I feel like it could be somewhat like that coming into high school. Although not quite as open, you know, like how undergrad is, but it could be a little overwhelming because there's so many, you know, students. You go to, you know, 7 or 8 different classes. The teacher just does not have the capacity. And I tell them, sometimes they're not able to pay attention, you know, maybe the amount of time that you may really need, but we will, again, let's work together. Let me try, I'll speak to the teacher. So it's like being this advocate. And I think a child knowing that you are caring, a child knowing that they're not alone, like somebody's taking interest in them, also encourages them. It also helps them to get through that next minute, that next hour. So I just think it's so many, like we just, you know, as we speak, you know, Ms. McGee, just so many small miracles, so many small things, you know. Maybe they are just used to being disciplined, you know, where someone is always telling them what they do wrong and blah, blah, blah. But when they get with Miss McGee, or when they get with me or Miss Major, it's just different. I'm trying to, but it's absolutely, which is very important to know in education, is never speaking negatively about any other entity in your environment, because it's so important that everybody takes one face, you know, the face of these children, and to try to get them to graduate from high school. So that ninth grader, I try to make it so that they can find out what it is they like to do. What do you like to do? it usually does calm them. It usually does focus them. And I find that it does have a really positive outcome. And so now I haven't spoken about Jesus. I haven't said the word hope, but what I hope in my tactics that you can feel that hope. That hope is still communicated without saying the word, right? The love of Christ is still communicated without saying, you know, I don't have to say Christ. I hope that they feel that unconditional love that Christ is asking us to share with others. So that's a goal. That's something that I try to do. So yeah, I don't think you, you're absolutely right. A lot of them don't know anything about, you know, don't care to know. Some of them are really that angry and rightfully so, you know. They don't want to hear anything about all churchy stuff and everything. And I mean, I work in a public district, so we're not supposed to be, you know, technically, so to speak, you know, preachy or, you know, talk about just Christ and all that. I do share who I am, you know, and that's allowed, you know, you can do that. So I, you know, I think there's more than one ways to skin a cat, right, Miss? Right.
And to your point, we are called to be different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're not called or given the excuse to cause the children to not look at us and say, I can relate to her, but I don't know why.
Mm. Mm.
You know, when she talks to me, it makes sense.
Right.
Where when everybody else talks to me, I mean, I think I'm watching Peanuts.
Right.
And that's all I hear.
Right.
As soon as I sit down with her, Miss Major makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so that to me is us showing the love of Jesus.
Yeah. So I'm not really like you have to, you know, have prayer every day. I pray all the time. I don't need anyone telling me when to pray. I don't need anyone telling me when to pray. I feel like our lives are still an example. I don't, you know, Christ has never minimized whatsoever. It's impossible.
No.
You know, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It's impossible. I don't care what they do, allow, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It's still going to permeate. And, you know, there's just ways to do that. And it just doesn't have to be this way, whatever that this way is, you know, it just doesn't. So
I love it. So I'm going to ask this question because it's next. But if you've been listening to us, guys, you're going to know what her answer is going to be. How do you keep hope alive?
How do we keep hope alive? Our lives, right? Our lives as an example. That's not easy. Because as you shared, right, Miss McGee, sometimes we don't want to get up.
Yep.
Out the bed. Sometimes I'm frustrated. Sometimes somebody gets on my nerves.
Right.
I'm not perfect. But we are an example, and that encourages me, like to be Christ-like. That's all I'm trying to say, which means that we humble ourselves, which means we admit and know that we can't do this by ourselves, that we depend on the Holy Spirit to guide and to guide us and to give us the wisdom on what we need to do for that day. And that's what I pray all the time. And I know, even speaking to you, child, Tracy, child, Lord Jesus, you know that child prays and just be like, what do I do today? I can't tell you the different obstacles that she had to deal with, definitely concerning business. But I, you know, so you just continue to be that example. That's important. That's not easy, but it's important. It's necessary. It's something that we decide to do. It is our life. No turning back. That's it. That's all. Right. Period. We done came this far. Now it's like, I ain't thinking about doing anything else. Now, you know, it what works.
We gonna do?
Right. It works. We know it works.
We know it works.
So we know it works. So
I'm not going to break it. And then
right. So it's no turning back. That's what we got to do. So I feel like keeping hope alive definitely is our life examples, how we live, so that others can see the real person in us and also how God is moving in our lives. You know, we are set apart as Christians to look and be as much like Christ as much as possible. And we know that he was humble and that he constantly just did as, you know, he was obedient to the Father. You know, Christ was obedient to the Father, and he was focused. So I think keeping hope alive means that we remain focused. You know, we get, and the word, or is that a verb? I guess you would say something to do, right? To be focused. The mere fact that we have to continue to say that, right, Ms. McGee, does say that what happens? Yes, we get off focus, right? We get off track. It, simple as that, right? So when we're saying it, although it's like you hear this all the time, remain focused, it really means that we are, as humans, will get off track, will not be focused. You know, that's something you have to.
We're not perfect.
We're not. So we have to decide this is what we're going to do.
It's a decision. This word decision. You have been knocking the decision word out. The first question, and it's, I'm laughing because that's where we're going with the classes.
Yes,
we're writing. We're doing one on hope and decision making because it is a decision.
Right.
It's a decision not to give up.
Right. It is a
decision not to say, you know what, I don't care anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. You know, it doesn't matter to me anymore. It's a decision to say, you know what, let's do this different this time.
Right, right.
I know what doesn't work too.
Right.
You know, I found right. It doesn't work by doing what worked and knowing that I didn't feel this way when I was doing it the wrong way.
Correct.
So I made a decision. I might as well stay over here because this feels better.
Yeah, right. I see it working. I'm good. Yeah. And, you know, because for so many years, right, Trace? I mean, we did it so crazy. Like, I was just doing it my way. And I got, you will run into a brick wall. Face. You absolutely will.
Face first.
And you'll either decide, I'm sick and tired of this. I can't do it my way. God, help me.
Yes.
Or you will just really be on a terrible road of self-destruction, you know? So you just have to decide, you know, what side you're going to be on. You have to decide.
I know every parent out there is like, why isn't Miss Major my child's guidance counselor?
I don't know about that. You know,
I need her to come to listen to my child.
It's rough, child. We parents ourselves, so we know.
Yes.
We know how it is. We know how frustrating it can be. Another human being, our little children. Oh, it ain't easy.
No, but it is a blessing when you have somebody else that you can trust.
Yes, and that unit, right? That unit, yeah.
Yes, find somebody who can speak life.
Yes,
into your child.
Exactly.
Even if you don't know how to.
Right. Because sometimes we don't. That's right.
You know, and sometimes our children just relate to other people
in a different way.
Us. Mm-hmm. You know, so no, we can't clone and ship out this Major. But
there's someone there.
And listen to this podcast with your child. Mm. Okay. Now listen, we got one more question, and this is when we ask everybody. What is your hope for the children and youth and the young people of today?
Very simple. I do want them to know their worth. I want them to see who they are really made to be and that they are here to make a difference. And when they do that, to help someone else. I also want them to learn how to love, right? So first, learn how to love themselves. In loving yourself, you will know that you're worth. You will know that you matter. You will know that you're here for a reason. In loving yourself and learning how to love, and then you decide that you're going to love others. When you can do things from a point of love, it will always make change. That it can't come back void when it's done in love. It's impossible, right? So I want children to learn how to love themselves, in turn how to love others, to do things in love, to forgive themselves when mistakes are made. That's part of growing. It needs to happen. It will happen. So the act of forgiveness, first starting with themselves, to persevere. Mm-hmm. I want children to learn how to persevere. I feel like even if you're in a negative state as a child, if your child is struggling, that they still work at doing that. Right. So how do we reverse that so that it is put in a more positive light? Nothing goes without working. Even when you have bad behavior, you're working at it. You know, how can we use it? Right. How can we use that so that it now helps them to be better people? Not easy, but also a point of hope, I guess, as educators, definitely to look at, like, okay, we could do something with, oh, I see how this child, you know, we could do something. So yeah, perseverance. I think those things are definitely a great start that I want to see happen within our youth today. I know we are facing some very difficult times, but we know, right, Miss McGee, this ain't the first time.
Right.
Probably won't be the last. Ain't nothing new under the sun. And as crazy as it is right now, we know that we've been through this and worse, right?
And we've survived it all.
And we survived it all. Yeah.
You know, and so we will survive this one too.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
But we've got to have hope.
Yes.
That our history tells us, last time we had to go through this, it hurt.
Yes.
But it didn't stay like this.
Yes.
You know, because what I have to believe is for every challenge, there is a challenger. And that challenger will defeat the challenge.
Yes.
I'm going to be on the challenger's side.
That's right.
We need to stand up and say, let's make this happen.
That's right. That's right.
So it's time for a change.
Yes.
And my hope is that we pour that into our children.
Yes.
That we pour it into their parents, that we pour it into their neighbors, that we pour it into their churches.
Yes.
Because just because you're at a church doesn't necessarily mean that you know what to do.
Right, right, right.
And so we want people to say, you know what? Yeah, this is not a good place to be.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But we will get through it. Yeah. We'll get through it together.
We will. What I'm hearing you say, Miss McGee, is community. Remember our community, how we need to work together, how we're all in this, to be more community minded.
Right.
That is that I do feel like we're missing that today. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
Do you agree a little bit?
Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
TJAC stands for Taking Jesus Across Communities.
Look at that. See, I told y'all about Tracy.
She'd be up in my head.
Told y'all about that, Tracy. She always thinking. A true entrepreneur. That is a powerful name. Now, I don't think I knew that, Tracy. That's something else.
Really?
I'm thinking T has to do with Tracy. Don't laugh at me, y'all, in the podcast. Child of my master.
No, that's not the truth. When I first was praying about the company and what we're going to do, I lost a friend of mine that I grew up with, Jackie.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, Tracy and Jackie. Tracy and Jackie, T-Jack. And probably a couple of months later, I was doing a consecration.
Mm-hmm.
So I was praying and I was fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to get up. And all of a sudden, all I heard was T-Jack taking Jesus across communities.
Wow.
And so in my heart of hearts, it's still Tracy and Jackie.
Yes.
Because it still represents these two little girls from Southwest Philadelphia.
Yes.
But the bigger picture is we're taking Jesus across.
Yes. The oh my gosh.
And that has been it. We're so honored that you came and joined us today.
I am super excited, Tracy. I'm super excited. I had a wonderful time. I really did. We have to do this again. Yes, you have to invite me again.
I surely will.
I had a great time. I hope the listeners will enjoy it as much as we did.
Yes, because if you couldn't tell, we actually had a good time. And we were talking about some serious stuff.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we're over here like wiping the corners of our eyes because
that's right.
For the pain. Like, oh, Lord. Yeah, I remember that.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Oh, you know, I mean, honestly, I remember coming in being like, look, you going with me.
Right. That's right.
We went in Granny's house and started floor tutoring.
Yep.
Angie had one room. I had another. And my sister Bethany had another.
Yep.
And we were rolling those kids in and out.
Granny's in and out.
Like it was Grand Central Station.
That's right. Tutoring and teaching. I remember.
Oh, yeah. And then one day you were like, okay, I can ride this bike by myself now.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Like I could do this. I could do this. It was an amazing, it was just amazing to watch because it just started out so little, you know, your vision, and then it just grew. And here we are.
Talking about states.
Not right. Now you in states, girl. I was like,
what? It all started in Granny's kitchen.
Yep.
Dining room and living room.
You got that right. You making them salmon cakes, girl. I ain't never forget that.
Now, don't y'all send me no text messages or emails saying, can you make me some salmon cakes? With
oh
me?
My gosh, Tracy makes the best salmon cakes ever.
They're just for Tangie. So we did talk about our sponsorship. Always need to be able to keep it up front. We are sponsored by the TJAC Educational Consulting Group. Yes, TJAC stands for Taking Jesus Across Communities, but we provide educational services. Mm-hmm. That's all we do. Mm-hmm. If it's not education, then we refer you, mm-hmm. as Major was talking about, to the people who specialize in that.
Mm-hmm.
We specialize in education. And so please contact us. Tell us what you think, mm-hmm. about the podcast. If you know somebody that would be really great to come on and encourage other people about hope, mm-hmm. tell them, get in contact with us. You can reach us at thekittypodcast@gmail.com. So that's the T-H-E, kitty, K-I-D-D-I-E, podcast, P-O-D-C-A-S-T, @gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Contact us. We'll get back to you. We hope you have enjoyed today. And if it's made a difference in your life, tell somebody and you guys come back and join us the next time. So you know what we love to say here at the Kitty Cup Podcast? We want you to be helpful. We want you to be whole. Most of all, we want you to be hopeful. Life will get better. Mm. May the Lord bless you is our prayer. Love you.
Love you. God bless.
See y'all later.